So it looks like it's just EG and I right now. Hey, all right. No worries. We'll have a good conversation.
We'll make it work. I have lots of notes we can refer to.
Oh my God. And I did have a couple other people accept the meeting event on Facebook. So I'm hoping that they arrive. Maybe they're having internet connection issues too. So, just to get us started here. Hi, everybody. I'm Lisa Cristofal. We are once again talking about The Artist's Way, by Julia Cameron. I do not have nearly the post-it notes and everything that EG has on hers. But this is a book that we were going to do just for September. And then, EG pointed out, hey, this is a 12-week kind of, activity-based book. And so we decided to go with it. So, as we talked last time, The Artist's Way is a combination of actually three things. One is morning pages every single morning. So handwriting out three agonizingly long morning pages every morning. We can go into that a little bit later. Doing an artist date once a week, every week. And then, there are like tasks and things for you to do throughout the week, each week, just to continue digging up the things that your morning pages dig up. So that's kind of the artist way in a nutshell. I've got, the morning pages journal that I've been using to do, if you can see all the writing there. My hand really hates that morning exercise, like literally, falls asleep on a regular basis. In fact, half of my morning pages are me complaining that my hand has fallen asleep again and I need to shake it out before I keep writing. So how are you doing with the morning pages, EG? Because I
I'm
know
good.
you actually started a few weeks before I did
I
on
did, yeah.
this.
I'm on, where am I? I'm on week 11.
Oh, awesome.
So I've got two more weeks to go, but this is my version of the morning pages. I use the Remarkable tablet, and
Oh yeah.
I think the challenges, they transcend, even though this is tech versus old school pen and paper, because I find myself complaining that if it's too cold, especially if I'm traveling, that the pen doesn't make proper contact with the tablet, and it's like I can't read, and I have, yeah, so sometimes my complaining involves that, just like you. And my hand's gotten a bit better with the writing, but yeah, I definitely was thinking I'm gonna end up with carpal tunnel at the end of.
I had to get, like, I don't know if you can tell, this is a pretty thick pen. I tried thinner pens. I can't, like, that's even worse. So I'm praying that this thick pen doesn't run out before the end of the time I'm doing the morning pages, or I'm going to have to buy another thick one because that's like the skinniest my thumb can handle, or else it really won't operate at all.
The good thing with the morning pages, like I mean, it's three pages, but it's only three pages. So I'm at, what am I at? 243 pages, right? And I've got a couple of more weeks to go. So I'll hit what, about 250 pages. But it's not just the morning pages. I think what is can throw you off is the extra assignments and the tasks, like writing those out, right? Like they will tax your brain and they will tax your hand craft.
But they really dig in. Like I actually, it's funny because she says it'll sort of free you up and help you figure things out. And my morning pages is full of, I don't know why I'm doing this crap. This is ridiculous waste of time. I don't have an extra 45 minutes of time every day. Like my morning pages are filled with that, right? But I've really taken significant steps in my business since I started this without even realizing it. Like I am clearer in the rest of the day. It is. I am doing better. The morning pages themselves, I literally hate them. Like I literally resent sitting down and doing them every single morning, but it does make things better later on in the day.
Right. And that's also what she says, when you hate them the most is when you actually need to get through them the most, right? Like when you don't want to do it, that's really when you actually should be more focused and doing them, right? I get that. Are you finding that? I know with me, I find myself ranting and going off on different tangents And then usually within a day or two, like when the next week starts, then that becomes the topic of that, like that chapter, that section, yeah. Right? So my, yeah. The latest one is, like procrastination and stuff. And I find myself, why? And then next thing you know, okay, boom, here, let's take yeah. it back. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's just a matter of your, it's kind of spooky how your mind starts to process it. And then all of a sudden here comes the solution, so to speak, or how to deal with yeah. it, you know, in that next chapter in yeah. the book.
Yeah. It's almost like she's done this with hundreds or thousands of people and she knows, you know, what they're going through and what to expect. But it is really funny. It almost feels prescient, you know, that process. Yeah. And some of the tasks are kind of cool, like the one where you're putting find the rocks and put them in your pocket. I thought, what on earth is that going to do? But it actually was kind of cool. It was kind of a cool experience.
And see, I went with twigs.
You went with twigs?
I went with twigs. I'm more of a forest and the trees person. So I took some twigs.
See, I have, I do a lot of feng shui. So I have all these little crystals and like, you know, gemstones and rocks and things like that. So I just picked five of my favorite and put those in my pocket. And that was a lot of fun. So that was cool. And have you found, like, there are a couple things that I really didn't identify with in here. So like one of the chapters was on jealousy and I didn't have any like connection to what she, I think that whole chapter, I had no connection to what she was writing. And I don't know if you found there were any sections there that really didn't resonate with you.
Well, with the jealousy section, it's really a matter of viewpoint. Right. Like when you stop to look at it, some of it's, you know, well, somebody's getting ahead in their career faster than you are, or somebody's getting more accolades or something. So that kind of plays into, I wouldn't necessarily say that to the extreme that it's talked yeah. about in the book, but sometimes it forces you to think, okay, why am I having this reaction? Right. What yeah. is it? You know, and it forces you have to kind of take the step back. Right. Okay. So somebody is getting, you know, like I guess in a business sense, somebody's getting more clients or somebody's getting more interviews yeah. or somebody has more, you know, whatever. Then, yeah. you know, it's instead of, you know, sitting there pouting, going, well, it's a matter of, well, maybe they're outreaching a bit more, or maybe they're doing outreach the same as you are, but they're doing it in a different way. So find out how, right? Like, so take right. that step back and analyze what, and I've been doing that a lot more, like for good yeah. and bad. Like, why am I reacting the way I'm reacting? It's becoming very, I'm becoming very self-aware.
See, that's interesting. To me, I always have looked at it like, huh, wow, look at what she's doing. That is so cool. What is she doing to get there? Like, it's never been, why is she getting that success? You know, yeah. like for me, it's always been curiosity. What is she doing? Like, how does she know so much about social media, right? like what is going on in her head? How does she think to make those decisions? So for that part, that whole thing kind of didn't really resonate with me because I just don't think that way.
Right.
Right.
I mean, but in that case, it's not necessarily a jealousy thing. Like you said, it's more of a curiosity thing, but it does still force you to stop and think.
It does.
Right. So like you have this emotional reaction to something that somebody else is doing. And then now you're, instead of just kind of going down that rabbit hole, you're taking a step back. Like, why did I have that
right.
reaction? Right. Like yes. what's going on with me that is causing that?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the more you do, I mean, that's the whole purpose of the artist, right? The more you do that sort of digging up and that deeper thinking, the more you're able to figure, I think, yourself out, which is what I think is really, really cool. So are you, when we talked, I think before about the artist dates, you're going, cause you like to go out into the outdoors and the wilderness and stuff like that. So those are really your artist dates, right? And you've been doing those. Right. Is that
yeah? Yeah. I spent like all of last week. I'm like, I was, I got back just in time. Like literally as I finished unpacking the car, it started to snow. And then we, so within a 24-hour period, we got like over a foot of snow and it was a nice wet, sticky stuff. So I ended up hurting my back trying to shovel the driveway. It's just, yeah, but it's that, yeah, going out and disconnecting from the tech and connecting with nature, even though I didn't really do much. It was cold, it was windy, but it was just me hanging out in the trees, right?
Yeah.
And I would literally move my car, following the bison or, staying away from the bison, depending on, the circumstances and what time of day and stuff it was. But for me, that's kind of my escape, so to speak. Or I might just, if I can't travel for whatever reason, then every now and then I do grab my tablet and I will just, kind of mini binge something on Netflix or Amazon Prime, right? So just to kind of change the pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I started, I just, for some reason, and she says this, right? A lot of people have a harder time with the artist dates. And I was full of excuses. I think at our last call, I had done one out of the 4 weeks, right? I don't have time. I can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And so I started making a list. Like I went back to my childhood and back to, what did I used to like to do before I got so busy, right? Before everything was focused on the future and focused on busyness and everything. And, I've got this list now of things that I want to do. Some of them are big girl things, like I love spas. So I've got a couple of spa visits planned, for some of the weeks. And some of them are what I did, my God, all the way through my teenage years was lay on the couch under blankets and read a fiction novel. Cause that's like one of my very favorite things to do. And I never take time to do it anymore. So I do some of those, and then some of them are kind of more artist things, because I did do before I had kids, my friends and I would do things like we took a class on how to make those sprays, those eucalyptus sprays, kind of things. We took a class on how to make quilts. We took a class on how to do ceramics. We took, we used to do those kind of things. So I've got some of those on my list as well. So we'll see how I do. But it is tough for me to, first of all, spend 45 minutes every morning writing these pages and then take another 2 hours every week and say, I'm going to go do something that isn't productive.
But do you find that some days the pages are easier than others? Like some days I just sometimes like you're not supposed to stop writing, but sometimes like my brain just kind of draws a blank, and it's not like I'm, I get distracted, but I can't think of anything. And then other mornings, it's just this, wow, it's like this diarrhea of words. And one day I actually accidentally did 4 pages because I just got so sucked in. I just started, and I didn't realize.
What's funny is I've had days where it'll be agony to get through like the first 2 pages. And then my brain will hit on something and I'll do the third page really, really fast. And I'll come to the end of the third page and think, but I'm not done, but it's the 3 pages and I'm done. But it takes me so long to get into that. I do a lot of, I can't think of what to say. I'm not sure what I should say right now. My brain is kind of empty. And then suddenly it'll be writing about something. And you didn't even realize suddenly you were writing about something.
Right. So. And I've had some days where it's been so like little point form, 1 or 2 words or short phrases. And it's just like everything under the sun that just as it pops into my head and nothing is really sticking, but my brain is going in a million different directions. And then like you said, it lands on something and then you just keep going there, and a lot of times it's like, where did that come from?
Yeah. Right?
You start going, where did that come from? And you,
I didn't know I thought that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I do have the trouble. Some of the trouble I have is my, household still has two other people in it who are sort of up and about in the mornings too. And that's when they want to talk and that's when they want to do stuff. So my husband sometimes will turn the TV on and I'll catch something about something political going on. And then I'll start ranting about political stuff and everything. And so I have a hard time staying focused when there's any distractions at all.
Right. And it's really tough. I get up really early in the morning. So that I, you know, like my alarm goes off at 5:30 in the morning, and some days I actually wake up before the alarm. So it's literally, you know, get up, let the dog out to go to the bathroom, make my coffee, grab my mountain of medication that I need to take, you know, and then I just get back into bed, and that's what I do. So the tech doesn't get turned on, the phone isn't anywhere near the bed. And so I get the morning pages done, and then I have usually two books running. So then I'll read a chapter in each book. Then I'll start dealing with what's going on, you know, with the technology stuff. Yeah. And usually around that time, it's a quick check-in for me. And then my mom's usually starting to get up. So it's go upstairs and help her get dressed, make her bed, get her breakfast and stuff like that. Right. So I need that time earlier in the morning, because if I get distracted, I find that I never manage to get back to it.
Yeah.
Right. So if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And the first 4 weeks, I was doing my meditation first. And that usually was kind of before everybody got up and around. By the time I was doing the morning pages, everybody was up and around, and it got hard because it was all distracting. So, and I had said to you, I wasn't really finding that it was doing anything for me. So I flipped it. I get up and do the morning pages first now, and then I do my meditation. And I am finding that it has made a difference. It's made a difference to the morning pages and to my meditation. Both of them, I think, are better.
So are you now, because you flipped it, are you now struggling with the meditation?
Nope, because my family is well aware when I'm meditating that they don't come anywhere near me. They don't turn on anything, any distractions or anything like that. I've been doing meditation for about 4 years. They are trained.
So even though you change the time, then that doesn't matter. It's like I'm meditating, right? So then what you need to do your artist state before you meditate too. Right. Yeah. Do your morning pages, then head out for your artist day. Then that way, middle of day, you're meditating. But if that's something that you know that you're going to do, right, if you're having trouble with the artist date and the pages, then do the stuff that you're struggling with first, that you're not so, it's not as habitual and it's not as ingrained. So do that first, right? And that becomes, you got to do that before you can meditate, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be too. I just hear my meditation teacher in the back of my mind, because, you know, everybody says whatever habit they want you to do, you have to do it very first thing before you do anything else. So Julia Cameron's like, you got to do the morning pages before you do anything else. My meditation teacher's like, you got to do the meditation before you do anything else. You can't have any caffeine. You can't have any technology. You can't have turned anything on. So but you can't do everything first thing in the morning. So
you can't, but if you've already been doing meditation for years and you've got your family trained and you know that that's something you're going to do, then do the stuff that, I mean, for me anyway, do the stuff that I'm more likely not going to get done as soon as the distractions kick in, right? Yeah. As long as it's not something entirely frivolous, right? I mean, like there's a point behind doing the, you know, the art estate and the meditations. Yeah. There's a point even to me reading in the morning.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas as soon as, like, now that I'm sitting, whether I'm sitting at my desk or whether I'm traveling, as soon as I actually start working, then everything else kind of, even though I tell myself, I'll do it, you know, after dinner, or I'll, you know, just before bed, it never happens. So
you're like habit stacking, right? So I think that's James Clear, right? Atomic Habits. He recommends habit stacking. So for the important things you try to get done. So it's interesting. I don't know if you ever read any of Robin Sharma. Have you ever read any of his stuff? So he's got this 20-20-20 concept where he recommends that you do something like meditation or journaling or something like that for 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes of what he calls, it's like light exercise that gets your brain juices flowing, essentially, like a 20 minute walk or some yoga for 20 minutes or whatever, and then reading for 20 minutes.
Right.
And so that's what he recommends sort of as the entrepreneur's way to start your day. There's like a thousand recommendations for what your morning routine should look like and how you should start your day. And mine already takes 2 hours. So I've got to figure out how to cut that back. And that's why I think the morning pages is pissing me off, because I can't write any faster and it's taking 45 minutes.
Well, you can't write any faster, but you've already said it's helping to clear up your head for the rest of the day.
You have
right?
to look at it. You yeah. have to look at it that way. You're right. It's yeah. absolutely, it's, that's just like people will say, I don't have time to meditate. And my response is, you don't have time not to meditate, because meditating is what also helps you clear your head. My morning meditation, I don't know how effective that is, because I always start my day clear headed for the most part anyway. But I know when I do my afternoon meditations, well, I know when I don't get my afternoon meditations in, that the rest of my day is way less productive than if I had gotten my 20 minute meditation in, and then I'm significantly more productive for the rest of my day.
And my mom's got a little bit more of a morbid way of looking at it, but you know, like people don't, you know, they don't call, they don't come to visit, right? They always find excuses. I'm too busy. Right. And then, you know, my mom's like, but everybody always finds time for funerals. Suddenly everything stops and there's time for a funeral. I'm like, shouldn't we be seeing people when they're alive instead of when they're dead? So it's not that they don't have the time. It's that they're yeah. not making the time. They're allowing themselves to get distracted, right? And I mean, yeah. my mom's 88 and she's very good at going straight for the morbidity aspect, but it's true, right? I mean, like yeah. all the things that you had planned when you said you didn't have time for a coffee, you still have planned, you know, in having to go to a prayer service or something, but one supersedes the other.
But you make time to do it, right?
You make time. So it's not that there isn't time. It's that you're prioritizing differently. Right.
Yeah. That's a brilliant way to think about it. Right. Yeah, especially if you haven't seen somebody in a while. In fact, I just had coffee with, one of my clients yesterday she happens to be here in the same city as me, and she likes to meet face to face every once in a while. So we met face to face yesterday. And it was nice, right? It was nice to just like take the time to sit down and catch up and have coffee and stuff. And especially since the pandemic, doing stuff like that, like seeing people face to face, is far less frequent. So I like your mom's philosophy. I think, you know, it might be a morbid way to look at it, but I do, you know, I do think that's true. We want to spend time with other people. Yeah. So that's interesting.
But again, you're so overwhelmed with all the little things that you have in front of you that you think have to get done. Well, they don't really have to get done. You just kind of want to try to cross them off your checklist or to-do list, but really there's always going to be something that replaces it. So you have to start figuring out what's more important, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, like, it's not to say that everything has to be life-threatening in order to do it right away, but it's finding that balance, right, between, you know, right. things that you enjoy versus, you know, things that you maybe have to do but you don't necessarily enjoy, right? So
yeah.
you know yeah. make time for your art estate. And as much as the morning pages drive me bananas some days too, right,
it's crazy how much they help. I've made so many decisions over the last few weeks that I've been struggling to make, and I make decisions. Like, I have never been afraid to make decisions, but for some reason, this is all stuff that's been churning and I'm not sure what I want to do. And suddenly I'm making all of those decisions. So, it's really, really cool. Like, it's interesting. And I think it's really funny. So we're also reading Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
And he actually uses this exact book. He does morning pages every morning as part of just his morning routine too. Right. So I thought that was really funny that we had like a dovetail on the two books that seem very, very different that we're reading for the fall. But he did something that kind of surprised me, because she says, don't share your morning pages with anybody. They're really just for you. He actually, on his website, if you go up on his website, he's got copies of his morning pages posted up there to show people what they look like and what he writes and everything. I was like, I don't think I would want anybody to see
what I'm writing. Well, I'm sure he doesn't share every single day though. Right.
Yeah,
I mean, so like, yeah. it's just giving samples, but that was the same thing. The last time we talked, we had, writing down the bones, right?
Yes.
I was reading that at the same time as The Artist's Way. And what's her name? Natalie Goldberg, right?
Yes.
So she also does the foreword, doesn't she?
Yes.
So she's got the foreword in The Artist's Way. And then
yes.
Julia's also in her book. So, but it was interesting how, as I was reading through the other book, there were things that kind of lined up with The Artist's Way, right? And it's just strange how, what does she call it? Synchronicity, or what is it?
Yeah. It is synchronicities.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Now, the chapter that I'm on right now, or is it the chapter that I just finished? Well, it is the is it the jealousy chapter? No, it's the one with, it's week 8. Recovering a sense of strength is what I'm on. And a lot of the quotes that are in that section of the journal are about, let me pull that one of them up. After the ouch, say, how can this loss serve me? Where does it point my work? So there's a lot of these things about failure in your artist's process that that I'm really struggling. So again, it's one of those disconnects for me. As long as you are writing and then taking feedback in, it's hard for me to think of it as failure.
Right.
Right. And I know she's talking to a different audience when she's talking about this, because she's probably talking to literally artists, you know, painters who don't feel like they're recognized and stuff. So I recognize that I'm probably not her audience for that part of it. But I actually like crossed out the quotes that were in the journal because they were just bothering me. Like they had, I don't know what it was, but, I just thought it was a very defeatist way to look at things. And I didn't like it.
Well, I think what happens with a lot of artists, and I see that with people as well, they ask for feedback, but they don't really want feedback. They just want the praise, right? They don't actually want the critique. They just want the pat on the head, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
And then they all get very defensive when you try to offer them help and guidance. So that's kind of what I started taking from that, right? Like that one section, like there's, gain disguised as a loss, like even the quotes on the side, but just kind of going through it is trying to figure out how can I make this apply to me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of these guys that, you know, like situations that they end up in, and it's like having to reset yourself, right? You know, like she took what was it, Miami Vice money or something to write a screenplay. And there was a lot of self-defeating behavior that she was doing. And it's sitting there going, okay, well, you know, I'm never going to be submitting screenplays somewhere, but what am I doing in my career that I'm sabotaging myself, essentially, whether I realize it or not, in not taking that next step, either effectively or at all.
Right.
Like, am I just, you know, half-assing it, so to speak, and not really giving it my full effort, so then I can go back and go, oh, well, you know, I knew that would happen. Right.
So whether you think about it as art or whether you think about it as some decision or some way you're putting yourself out there, it still should have some application to say, okay, you put yourself out there and it didn't work. you know, how you respond to that, makes a huge difference as to whether or not you're going to do it again, and or again. And then, and we know that you've got to push yourself out of your comfort zone to make progress and grow. Right. You just have to do that. So.
But it's to the extent, right? It's being honest with yourself to say, did I give it my full effort, right? Did, you know, right. Was that my best attempt, or did I just kind of do it for the sake of doing it because, you right. know, you're sabotaging yourself. You're setting yourself up for failure, right? And then if you do that enough, then now you have an excuse not to do it at all right. anymore, right? So right. there's a lot of that. And a lot of that also comes out, I find, in the morning pages.
Yeah.
Right. Like this morning, I chastised myself because I didn't hit my step count yesterday. Right. And I'm like, I could have easily hit my step count. I just got into bed early and I'm like, I don't feel like getting up. And so this morning, I'm like, yeah, I don't feel like doing it, whatever. And then this morning I get up and I'm like smacking myself with the tuna going, why didn't you just have like a few hundred steps. It wasn't like I was like nowhere near the goal. So
yes.
What was it that, you know, I just, I get up, go upstairs, come back down, and I would have hit my step count, but I didn't do it. So why didn't I do it?
So you're yelling at yourself in the morning.
I'm yelling at myself in the morning pages. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually have done that before where I'm like, I tuck myself into bed and I'm like 97.52. I only have like 250 steps to make my goal, but I don't want to get back out of bed.
Yes. I mean, like that would have taken what, a couple of minutes, you yes. know? So,
and I will get back out of bed and I'll like start running around the bedroom trying to get my steps in, and my husband will shake his head and he'll go, Isn't 97.52 like roughly 10,000? Why do you have to get to 10,000? Because that was the goal, right?
Because because there it's like, oh, well, close enough.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you start doing, oh, well, close enough in your steps. And then you start doing, oh, well, close enough in your diet. And you start doing, oh, well, close enough. And then it just snowballs.
It does.
Right. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. So, and in fact, one of the tips, that I don't always follow, but try to remember is, like if your goal really is 10,000 steps a day, you actually should put 11,000 steps on your Fitbit or whatever, your Apple Watch, whatever it is you use, because then, you're looking past your goal. You're more likely to hit your goal. Right. Because you're looking past it to try to get, you know, a little bit better. So I have like an hourly step count. And I always try to double that hourly step count. That still doesn't get me to 10,000. I would have to take a walk or do something else to do that. But at least, doubling that hourly step count makes me get closer to my goal because I'm always exceeding the hour, each hour's step count. So yeah, that's an interesting concept. And I have yelled at myself too before because I did, and it's around diet. What did I do one time? I was like, yep, I am going to do this. I know how to do this. I'm motivated to do this. And I was all positive in my morning pages, you know, and then that day I did exactly what I said I wasn't going to do. So the next morning I'm like, what the hell were you thinking? Yeah. So it is an interesting exercise, those morning pages.
It is, yeah. I mean, I find that I start having conversations with myself, and I don't know if that's something, I mean, we're recording, they're going to go call the shrink, right?
Everybody watching this afterwards is going to be like, okay.
You have conversations with yourself, and it's like, you know, you kind of actually start responding to yourself too, like through your writing, right? And it does get a little weird at times.
It does get a little weird, but I think that's that head chatter that Julia Cameron is talking about, that once you get that out of your way, lets you focus on your day. So I think, you know, exactly that is why she wants you to be doing the morning pages every morning. That's the exact reason. Because otherwise you'd be thinking, you know, it would pop up in your head and it would distract you and everything. you know, I know I've been whining and complaining about writing the morning pages this whole call. But I do think that, you know, for our members, if you guys haven't started doing this, I would try it. I would seriously, I think that it's a really great tool to use. And if both Julia Cameron and Tim Ferriss are saying, you know, they use this, and I have tons of people actually, because this book is what, 20 some
years old? 25 years old. Yeah, I've got the 25th anniversary.
Right.
Edition, so, and I just got that when I saw your list, right? So yeah. This one's relatively, what's the publication date on this? I have no idea. 2016, actually. So it's probably 30 years old now.
So 30 years old. Yeah. So the book's been around for about 30 years. Based on what I've seen, what I've been doing some research online and everything, there are people from all walks of life who use these morning pages on a regular basis and they swear by it. So, if you've been thinking about doing it and you haven't yet started it, I would give it a try. Right. I know I'm whining and complaining about it. I whine and complain in the morning pages, but I'm absolutely firm in the fact that I believe that they have helped me make some decisions that I had been waffling on making.
Right. And I think, you complain about writing them and you complain in them, but I think that also, you know, in a woo-woo sense, it just, you release yourself of that negativity. You just let go of it, right?
Yeah.
Do you find, I've got like these pink tabs up at the top that I actually will go back and I will read these sections, like the basic principles.
Yeah, I have the basic principles marked off.
Yeah, and then the rules of the road. I read those every morning.
Yeah.
Right, so I've added that. Right, so before I actually, you know, once I've done my reading, my morning pages, everything else, I go back and I read those that are sectioned off.
Yeah. Yes, I have those. I have the workbook. So I have those marked off in the workbook. But yeah.
And you also have the same color. That's interesting.
I think we're spending too much time together with this social media roadmap.
But yeah, I will, once I've done, you know, I've done the morning pages, I've done my reading and everything, then I read those bits before I actually get over to the tech and start working on stuff.
That's great. Yeah. Absolutely.
And before my next, you start the new chapter every week. So before I start reading the new chapter, I will always go back and I'll read through all these tabs. So, and my new weeks start on Sundays. So my Sunday mornings obviously tend to take a lot longer because as the book goes, right, I just keep adding all this different. I will go back and I will remind myself of all the different things that I've put in, right? Because I mean, just the two that I read every morning, but then once a week, I will go back and I'll read through the stuff that I've highlighted and marked off.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So what I find is I'm doing only like one or two of the tasks each week, not all of the tasks that she's asking me to do. But my thinking is that I'm just, when I'm finished with this, just going to go back and start again and do some of the tasks that I didn't do the first time through and everything. Because my guess is this is like an unlayering process, and 12 weeks probably isn't enough for as messed up as I've been sometimes, right? You know, because I think that it requires like continual work to try to keep doing that. So my intent was, I didn't go to your extremes, but my intent is to go do it over again.
Right.
Sort of and pick up new tasks and stuff.
Right. And I mean, with me and my Teflon brain, since nothing sticks, I have to kind of go through it repeatedly. But that applies with everything. I mean, what's the point of buying the book if we're just going to read it once? Why not just get it from the library, right? You want to go back. And when you go back, it's going to resonate differently.
Yes.
Right? Like, because you've had different experiences and, you know, you've learned different things. You're going to read the same words, but you're going to process them.
Now you can tie them together to something else or make a connection that you didn't make the first time you read through it. Absolutely. Yeah, no question. Okay, so I think that's probably a good discussion, unless there was something else you wanted to cover or talk about that you've sort of uncovered as you've been going through these.
No, I just find that it's just kind of creepy how as I get towards the end of the week, some of this, you know, weirdness comes out in my morning pages. And then I've just learned to just kind of let it go, get it down, and it'll somehow magically come up in the next chapter.
In the next in the chapter. Book. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I find that, yeah. So like, I think I said to you last time, like, I think it was chapter 3 and I wasn't getting angry and she was saying that you should be getting angry and everything. Well, it took me, actually, I'm sort of on the opposite. I'm delayed. It took me a couple more weeks and then I started to get angry. Right. So I'm more of a slow learner, I guess.
Well, and then, and with me in the angry chapter, I just went full blown. Everything was in caps and I sounded like a drunken sailor and everything was underlined and it was exclamation points. And it was just, and I as I was working through it, I paused it. I'm like, where is this coming from? What is going on? And that was literally the day before my next chapter. And then I started reading the next chapter and I'm like, oh, okay.
Right. That's so funny.
I think the one thing I didn't manage to do, did you get to the section where they want you to kind of put stuff at night, write stuff out at night, and then write on it in the morning? What chapter is that?
Oh, the questions. So asking yourself questions at night that you write on.
Yeah,
in
week
the morning.
Five. Back to that whole habit thing. If I don't do it in the morning, it doesn't get done at night. So even though I was doing the morning pages and stuff, I would, you know, the book is by my bed. It's not like it goes that far because I read it in bed. And I would see that extra different colored tab knowing that I had to do it, but my brain never processed to actually, okay, do that so then I can write about it in the morning. And when I go to do it in the morning, I'm like, I didn't write about it.
So I did that twice. I did two of the evenings. I remembered to do that at night. So then I was able to write about it in the morning, but I forgot after that.
Had I
been going back and reviewing, I probably would have done more than it, but I did do it twice.
Did you find that it helped you, like putting the questions at night and then you had the answers in the morning?
It did. But then that was also one of those things, because me right now, I'm focused on the fact that I'm at like way too high a weight. And so most of my issues are around controlling my diet and trying to get back healthier and on track and everything. So the questions I was asking were more about my health and stuff and, you know, how can I make better choices and everything. And then, you know, the next morning, like, so one of those questions was about, you know, how can I get myself to make these better choices? And the next morning I had this whole plan, right? I was like writing out this whole huge, and then I didn't do it. I did the opposite of it that day. So then the next day is when I was yelling at myself, why did you? So that sort of, you know, backfired a little bit. But yes, I certainly, it did help me think better. And if I were to let myself go back and read the morning pages, I had a great plan. I just need to execute that plan that I came up with.
And well, are you at the point where she tells you to go back to read them?
No.
There's actually a point where she tells you to go back to read them to see your progress. And I'm like, well, that's not going to work for me because it's all chicken scratch.
I know. I can't read because my thumb's going numb after, I mean, most of the stuff, you can't even tell what the letters
are. Yeah. I mean, like she says, don't go back and, you know, don't go back and edit. Don't go back and cross out. Don't go back. I'm like, so I'm writing stuff. And now that I'm, you know, at that point where she asked to go back, I'm like, I can't read half.
That's funny.
I'm like, okay. So, but I mean, I guess it's just really just for you to sit back and go see where you were and realize your progress, right? Yeah. Like if that's not cluing in yet, kind of like, you know, like you said, you know, with your health and your weight and stuff. January 1st is great for the gyms and the memberships and everything, but then by January 31st, if you haven't lost your 30 pounds and look like Cindy Crawford or something, then it's like, well, this isn't working, right?
Right.
Like,
people just give up.
They want the immediate results and you're not going to get them, right?
Absolutely.
So that's kind of, forcing yourself, again, like with everything, forcing yourself to get through it, even if you don't want to, that's when you need it the most.
Absolutely. That is true. That is absolutely true. So cool. Great discussion. I really had fun with this. All right. So everybody, that's the end of this call. We have one more scheduled to talk about The Artist's Way in mid-December. And I think what I'm going to do is, not that I didn't enjoy talking to EG, but I think what I'm going to do is ask you all to kind of sign up ahead of time, and we will not hold the call if we don't have anybody wanting to join. Cause this is for you. This is for the members, right? To talk about the things that we're learning and everything. And I am happy to jump on calls with you guys and talk about it. But, you know, if it's not valuable, then we'll, you know, we'll spend our time doing something else because we're all really busy.
Or maybe a different time.
Maybe a different time. Well, we already talked about that with Ben a little bit earlier, to make it a different time. So maybe we'll make it an evening. Like Wednesday evenings, we usually have a whole lot of people joining us. I don't know if Ben would want to join us at 8 o'clock Wednesday evening. But maybe some of the evening, an evening sometime in December might work a little better. So we'll talk about that. Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me, EG. It was a lot of fun to talk about this, and I will recommit to not being quite so grouchy about doing.
Grouchy is good, though. Get it out.
Yeah. That's true. All right. So thanks, everybody. Take care. Hopefully you'll watch this later. And thanks, Ben, for helping us out here.